I want you to visualize something for me. A shelf. But it's a digital shelf. It's YouTube, it's TikTok, Spotify, you name it.
Okay.
And the thing about this shelf is, it's infinite. It just goes on forever. There is absolutely no limit to how much you can put on it.
That's the dream, right? But it's also the curse of the whole thing. The shelf space is endless.
Exactly. But here's the problem, and I think everyone listening feels this. The shelf is infinite, but our energy, our time, that is painfully finite. We've hit this point that I've seen data scientists call content saturation.
It's a bottleneck. It really is. The bottleneck used to be distribution, you know, just getting your stuff out there. We solved that. Now the bottleneck is us. It's human production. A person can only edit so much video in a day before they just completely burn out.
Which brings us right to today's deep dive.
Yeah.
We're looking at a workflow that claims it can just smash that bottleneck to pieces. It's a combination of two very different technologies that when you put them together do something pretty wild. So on one side you have the input layer, and that's provided by a tool called Bandicam.
Oh yeah, a classic, the heavy lifter for screen recording.
And then on the other side you've got the transformation engine, which is the auto content API. And the promise here isn't just, you know, edit faster. It's taking that raw screen recording and turning it into a whole media empire. Blogs, shorts, podcasts, whatever you want.
And you don't manually edit a single frame.
Right.
It's a huge shift. We're moving from content creation, which is manual, to content transformation, which is automated. And if you're trying to make a living online, that distinction, I mean, it changes the economics of everything.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because usually when we talk automation, people get nervous. They think the quality drops off a cliff.
Sure.
So we have to start with the source material, the raw footage. Let's talk about Bandicam. I know a lot of people think screen recorder. I've got a free browser extension for that.
Yeah, and that's like bringing a plastic knife to a gunfight. It's just not the same league.
Why though? What's the actual difference?
It's all about fidelity and control. Those browser extensions, they're just, you know, scraping the surface. Bandicam is built for Windows and it hooks deep into the system. We're talking about recording in up to 4K UHD.
Right.
But more importantly, for this workflow, it captures separate audio tracks and incredibly high frame rates.
I saw that on the spec sheet, up to 480 frames per second. That seems insane. Who needs 480 FPS?
Gamers. Gamers do. And this is so crucial. Bandicam uses DirectX, OpenGL, Vulkan. It hooks directly into the game's rendering pipeline. So you're not just recording a choppy video of your monitor. You are capturing the raw feed.
And why does that matter for the automation side of things?
It's the old saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Okay, right. If I feed a blurry, choppy video into an AI, the AI is just going to spit out a blurry, choppy result.
Exactly. If you want an AI to accurately transcribe your voice or to spot a key moment in a game to make a clip, it needs crystal clear input. Bandicam provides that high fidelity raw material.
And it has those other features too. Yeah. The real-time drawing, the mouse effects. I use the mix your own voice feature all the time. So my mic audio is on a totally separate track from the game audio.
And that separation is vital later on.
Yeah.
Absolutely vital. If you want the API to strip out the game audio but keep your commentary for, say, a podcast version, you need that separation at the source.
Okay, so we've got the input. You hit record, you do your thing, you stop. Now, traditionally, this is where the soul-crushing part of the work begins.
I call it post-production depression.
Yeah. You're staring at this, like, 50-gigabyte MP4 file on your desktop. Bandicam did its job perfectly, but now you have to do yours. You have to open up an editor, watch the whole thing back, find the good parts.
And that is where most content just dies. It sits in a folder called To Edit and never sees the light of day. Bandicam does have a tool, Bandicut, which is great for manual stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to feed the algorithm, manual is just too slow.
And that's where the auto content API comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to be skeptical for a second here. We hear AI thrown on everything. It's an AI toaster, an AI toothbrush. How is this any different than just asking ChatGPT to summarize a video?
It is a completely different animal. This is not a chatbot. This is infrastructure. Think of it more like an industrial refinery. You pour crude oil in the top, that's your Bandicam video, and different pipes come out the bottom with gasoline, plastic, kerosene, all from one input.
So it's headless content production.
Right. Headless means no human is sitting there watching a progress bar. You set up the pipeline once. You upload your Bandicam file, or just give it a link, and the API treats that video as a data transformation task.
Okay, let's make this concrete, because data transformation is a little abstract. Let's take a specific person. Let's talk about the gamer.
The classic use case, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm playing, say, Call of Duty. I record a 3-hour session with Bandicam. The footage is beautiful, 4K, high FPS. But I need to post on TikTok and YouTube Shorts to grow my channel.
And the math on that is brutal right now. To really get the algorithm to notice you, you need to be posting, what, 3 to 5 vertical clips a day?
A day. And editing vertical clips from a horizontal game is a nightmare. You have to reframe everything, find the funny moments, add the subtitles, because no one watches with the sound on.
This is where the API's Video Create Shorts endpoint is just a game changer. You feed it that 3-hour file. The API doesn't just randomly chop it up.
So how does it know what to pick? That's my biggest worry. Is it just going to give me a clip of me walking down an empty hallway for 30 seconds?
No, it uses what's called multimodal analysis. It's listening to the audio level. So it looks for shouting, laughter, sudden spikes in volume. It's watching the visual complexity. So rapid scene changes, explosions. It identifies those peaks, isolates them, and then this is the key. It reframes the video to a 9.16 vertical format.
Does it actually track the action?
It attempts to keep the focal point, like your character or the crosshairs, in the center of that vertical frame. Then it transcribes the audio, generates those big colorful subtitles, and syncs them up.
Wow. And it can even add an avatar?
It can. So if you're running a faceless channel, you know, where you don't use a webcam, you can have an AI avatar pop up and say something like, check out this insane clutch.
That feels a little impersonal, maybe.
Maybe, but it's a volume game. Think about the cost arbitrage here. If you hire a human editor to do that work, you are paying anywhere from $50 to $300 per short.
Oh, easily.
The API does it for about 400 credits. On their business plan, that's roughly 4 euros.
4 euros. So wait, you're telling me I can generate like 75 shorts for the price of one human edited one?
That's the math. And that's why we call it an industrial engine. It lets one person with Bandicam just flood the zone with content. It's a scale that used to only be possible for a huge media company with a team of editors.
It sounds ruthless, but I guess that's the game now. Okay, let's pivot. Not everyone is trying to be the next big streamer. What if I'm, you know, in a corporate job? I use Bandicam to record software tutorials, how to use the new expense portal, you know, boring stuff.
Boring is where the biggest opportunity is. And Bandicam is perfect for this because it has those features like mouse click effects and real-time drawing where you can circle the button people need to click.
But nobody ever watches those videos. I send them out and I still get a dozen emails asking how to use the portal.
Because nobody wants to watch a raw 20-minute screen recording of a mouse just moving around. It's dry. It has zero dwell time.
Dwell time.
It's an SEO metric. Basically, how long does someone stay on your web page? If they click and leave in 5 seconds, Google thinks your page is garbage. If they stick around for 2 minutes to watch a video, Google ranks you higher.
So how does the API fix my boring HR video?
Okay, so you take that recording or even just the text from the instruction manual and you feed it to the explainer video endpoint. The API just completely transforms it. It can replace your stumbling voiceover with a clean professional AI narrator. It can overlay an avatar like a professional woman or a casual speaker to act as the presenter.
So it looks like we hired a professional host for the video.
Essentially, yes. It turns a screen capture into a production, and all of a sudden, you don't have a 20-minute slog. You have a tight, polished, 60-second explainer video that you can put right on the landing page.
And that actually reduces support tickets.
Drastically, because if the video is actually engaging and clear, people watch it, they get their answer, and they don't have to email you. It's support ticket deflection through better content.
I want to touch on something else I saw. We usually think of Bandicam as a video tool. But the Auto Content API seems to be really pushing into audio.
Oh, yeah, the audio revolution. They're marketing themselves as the Notebook LM API alternative.
We've talked about Notebook LM before. That's the Google tool where it has AI hosts that kind of banter about a document you upload. It's cool, but it's a walled garden, right? You have to use their site.
Exactly. Auto Content API takes that same idea of conversational AI audio and just makes it a programmable tool anyone can use.
So go back to our Bandicam user. Let's say I'm a CEO. I record a quarterly update with Bandicam to show the sales charts on screen.
Right. But your sales team, they're all on the road. They can't watch a video while they're driving. They need audio. So the API can take that Bandicam video, pull out the key info, and generate a two-host conversational podcast about the update.
Wait, like what you and I are doing right now?
Ideally, yeah. A dynamic back and forth, not just one robot reading a script, but two synthetic voices actually discussing the Q3 revenue figure.
Okay, be honest. How do the voices sound? Because we've all heard that robotic text-to-speech from 5 years ago. It's painful to listen to.
It is not 5 years ago anymore. The sources describe the output as natural, steady, and believable. But here's the real kicker for that busy executive. Voice cloning.
Okay, this is the part that starts to feel a little bit like science fiction.
It's here now. That CEO with Bandicam. They record their voice one time. Just once. The API analyzes it, clones it. From then on, they can just type an update or feed in a spreadsheet, and the API will generate an audio update in their own voice without them ever having to hit record again.
So I could run a daily company update podcast without ever actually speaking into a mic after that first day.
You create consistency and you maintain that personal connection of the CEO's voice, but without the time commitment. It completely uncouples your physical presence from your content output.
That is both incredibly convenient and slightly terrifying. But let's look at reach. We talk about that infinite shelf. A great way to fill it is to go global. Bandicam is used everywhere. How does this system handle language barriers?
This is a feature they call instant globalization. The API supports over 50 languages.
So my English tutorial on how to use Excel
can be processed by the API to output audio and video in Spanish, German, Japanese, you name it, instantly.
Is it just dubbing, though, like one of those old kung fu movies where the lips don't match at all?
It's getting much, much better than that. It's resynthesis. It creates new native-sounding assets. And think about your total addressable market, your TAM. If you only publish in English, you're capping your growth. If you hit one button and your content is now available to the entire Spanish-speaking world, you have potentially multiplied your audience by 5 times overnight.
And crucially, you didn't have to hire a single translator or a voice actor in Madrid.
Zero friction. And this ties right into another concept called programmatic SEO.
Okay, explain this to me like I'm 5. Programmatic SEO.
Okay, imagine you run a website that sells photo editing software. People are searching for things like how to edit photos in London, how to edit photos in Paris, how to edit photos in New York.
Right. And usually a company would just create one page and then duplicated 1,000 times, just changing the city name. And Google hates that.
Exactly. That's called thin content, and you get penalized for it. But with the API, you can take your original Bandicam tutorial and generate a unique audio intro and a unique video short for every single one of those thousands of pages.
Because the cost per asset is so low.
Precisely. You turn thin content into rich media. Suddenly, you're dominating the search rankings because you have unique, valuable content for Paris and for London, all generated from that one core recording.
Let's just talk about those costs again, because for any business, this all comes down to the bottom line. We mentioned the shorts, €4 versus $300. What about the podcasts?
The numbers are staggering. A professionally produced podcast episode with a human editor mixer, it'll run you between, say, $150 and $500 on the very low end.
And that's if you get a deal.
Right. The auto content API costs for a similar thing, between 10 cents and 2 euros.
2 euros. That's less than a cup of coffee.
It's a savings of over 99%. And this changes what kind of content you can even afford to make. It's the long tail theory in action.
Break that down for me.
Well, if a video costs you $500 to make, you need it to get thousands of views just to be worth it. You can only make content for a mass audience. But if a video costs €4, it only needs to convince one single person to buy your product to be profitable.
So Bandicam users can start making tutorials for these really obscure niche problems, like how to fix this one specific error code on a server from 1998.
Yes. A human editor wouldn't get out of bed for that project, but the API doesn't care. It lets you serve that niche audience profitably.
So when we step back, it feels like Bandicam provides the capture. It's the high fidelity eyes. It sees the 4K, the 480 FPS detail. And the auto content API is the brain and the hands that turn that vision into formats everyone can consume.
It's the perfect marriage of high fidelity input and high scale output.
Yeah.
We're moving away from a world where you're limited by how fast you can type or click a mouse.
Now, before we wrap, there was something you mentioned in the pre-show notes that really stuck with me. You called it the agentic web. And honestly, this feels like it might be the most important part of this whole conversation.
I think it is. It's the future.
So what is the agentic web?
So right now, the web is built for humans to look at. You go to a website, you read, you watch. But we are rapidly moving to a web that is built for agents, for AI agents, ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude. In the very near future, you're not going to search Google for how to fix my sink. You're just going to tell your personal AI agent, my sink is leaking, tell me how to fix it.
And the agent goes out, reads the web, and brings back the answer for you.
Exactly. But here's the problem with video content. AI agents are getting better at watching video, but they are much, much faster at reading structured data, text, JSON files, transcripts.
So if my really helpful tutorial is just a raw Bandicam MP4 file sitting on my server, the AI agent might just ignore it.
It's opaque to the AI. It's a black box. But if you use the Auto Content API to process that video, you're not just making a short clip. You're also generating a full transcript. You're generating a blog post. You're generating structured metadata. You're turning your visual content into text that an AI can read and understand instantly.
So you're basically translating your content into robot language.
Precisely. You are feeding the robot that then feeds the human. If you want your Bandicam recording to be the source that ChatGPT quotes when it answers someone's question, you need your content to be accessible in that way. The API makes sure your content is structured so the agents can ingest it.
Wow. That's a massive shift in thinking. It's not just about getting views on YouTube anymore. It's about becoming part of the AI's core knowledge base.
If you aren't readable by an agent, you're going to be effectively invisible on the next version of the internet.
That is heavy. But it makes perfect sense. From recording a game at 480 frames per second to feeding the AI brain of the future, the whole pipeline is completely different than it was even 2 years ago.
It's moving incredibly fast. The tools are here. It's just a matter of connecting them.
Well, that is a lot to process. For everyone listening, maybe go check out that dusty folder of screen recordings on your hard drive. You might be sitting on a media empire, or at least the foundation of one, and not even know it. Thanks for diving in with us today.
Always a pleasure.
We'll see you in the next deep dive. Keep recording.